Welcome, welcome everyone. My name is Sean, and recently on this channel, we talked about the phenomenon that was going on in New York City, where a bunch of different women, typically but not always young women in their early 20s, late teens, were reportedly being punched in the face, some due to the fact that they thought maybe it was because they were on their phone, but as we came to find out when more and more of these incidents came out, it was just random women being clocked in the face. Now, since then, there has been this ridiculous article that was published with the headline saying that the real culprit behind this is MAGA Republicans, the evil Orange Man supporters. I mean, we have this Salon article that says, men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last grasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. And then in the subheadline, it says, random New York City attacks are an extreme manifestation of men feeling entitled to women's time and attention. Now look, I've seen the suspects in these particular incidents. They are disproportionately black males. They're not even young black males in a lot of these cases. They look like mentally disturbed individuals. So an angle that one could take, and the angle that I took covering the story, was that this could be related to bail reform. For instance, we did a story about a woman in Brooklyn who had her jaw broken. And what we ended up finding out was that the suspect in that particular case had assaulted six people in his past and continuously got a same-day automatic release. And in fact, even though he broke that woman's jaw, he was released without bond.
Cops arrested 33-year-old Franz Judy. The suspect was charged with misdemeanor assault, meaning he's not bail eligible. He'll be released back onto the street. And that's the part that has the victim and her family frustrated and afraid.
He was just let go, you know, released on his own recognizance. He may have had an ankle monitor there. And that's because our soft on crime criminal justice system here in New York lets go of these violent repeat offenders. And by the way, this is actually noticed in the statistics for New York City. While in the seven major categories of crime, the overwhelming majority of the categories are down, assault alone has risen so much that the seven category average has gone up as per 2023, despite earlier reporting on the preliminary numbers. However, the MAGA take is interesting. It's right wingers, very, very odd take. And apparently it's not just this stupid Salon article. Jessica Burbank over at The Hill Rising has a similar opinion on this topic, and we're going to get into it. But before we do, I want to thank everybody signed up over at actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And remind you that on Saturday, April 27th, I will be at MindsFest. Link to tickets, top of the description, promo code AJW for 20% off.
If you have any form of social media, you might have seen videos of women in New York City going viral. These women say they have been punched in the face by random men on the street. A series of TikTok videos posted over the past few weeks showed women filming themselves after the attacks.
So they lead off with the TikTok influencer, the person who has over a million followers, the person who got the attention of the local media.
I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground and now this giant goose egg is forming and I'm like, oh my God.
Who kind of kickstarted this whole trend of women reporting what was going on to her. And I just want to point out right off the bat from the jump that the person accused of this particular attack is 40-year-old Skibaki Stora, who is somebody who has been running for mayor as like a third party candidate for years and years and years. But it is also important to note for this particular segment that he is in fact a black male. And in fact, a lot of the suspects in this particular story happen to be black males. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing that is because there's some confusion going on in Jessica Burbank's brain, and she doesn't seem to get what's going on here, and she's going to try to deny, deflect, and of course, distract you from what is actually going on in New York City.
If it is exclusively targeting women who are looking down at their phone, I generally subscribe to the advice that it's not a good idea to have your nose buried in anything when you're walking outside, but that's not an appropriate way, I think, to talk about women who are obviously victims here, right? There's no reason for these men to be punching them. To justify it because they weren't paying attention is obviously inappropriate.
So look, I understand if you guys are newly initiated to the Hill Rising dynamic where Amber Duke goes up against Jessica Burbank and you're thinking to yourself, why is Amber stating the obvious? Why is Amber saying it's not okay to punch random women, even if you believe that they're a little bit distracted on their phone? Isn't that obvious? Isn't that something that we can all understand? Isn't that something that modern civilization has already determined to be wrong? But what you don't understand is that Amber's going against Jessica Burbank. So the simplest things need to be explained in excruciating detail. So the reason she's saying it's not okay to do that, and maybe you could say for an advice thing, you know, a little bit later on, that you shouldn't be distracted while you're walking in a major metropolitan area, that you still can't punch people in the face. So, you know, that needs to be said, because Jessica Burbank's on the other side of this, and she's going to throw us a wild take on this whole situation.
And this is a very unfortunate trend. It reminds me of, I don't know if it was 10 years ago or so, you might remember this, there was this viral trend called the knockout game, where young men were going around and trying to punch grandmothers in the back of the head randomly to see if they could knock them out in one punch. This seems kind of similar, but a lot of these women have the same stories, which to me suggests that maybe it's just a few people who are doing this but are continuously getting away with it. And I would definitely urge the NYPD to focus some of their resources on perhaps using street cams or any other surveillance footage to try to figure out who the perpetrators are and hold them accountable as quickly as possible, because it is just an insane thing to think that you could be minding your own business, walking down the street in a city that you pay taxes in for the government to provide public safety, and you don't have a reasonable expectation that you're not going to be attacked that day.
So right there, Amber brings up the knockout game. And to be clear, if the knockout game was what was going on here, Jessica Burbank would definitely be in denial of it. In fact, the whole news media, it's one of the most comedic things ever. If you watch a compilation of reports covering it, where they're saying, some say that maybe this is a knockout game, but this is unconfirmed, despite the fact that it was happening across the country. By the way, still happens in the United States of America to this day. But based on the age of the perpetrators that we've caught so far, I do not believe that this is actually the knockout game. I actually think this is repeat offenders. A lot of them are probably mentally ill that are attacking people that you can't get off the streets of New York City, or that bail reform ends up guaranteeing the release of, i.e. that case in Brooklyn. And it's actually separate from the knockout game. On top of that, the knockout game was not just grandmothers. It was typically black teens playing this. And by the way, a lot of people get mad that I call it a game, but the thing is, it was played for fun. We're talking about the motivation of the attack. And it was committed against white, it was committed against straight, it was committed against Asian, it was committed against almost any category of person except for black males themselves or black females. So that was a trend that was going on, and I appreciate Amber bringing it up, but I do think, even though it reminds you of that, this is not exactly precisely the same thing.
Right. A lot of women's comment sections, I'm sure influencers especially so, are atrocious, with a lot of what people call incels, very online men who are very lonely. There's been an epidemic of loneliness among young men in the United States. And it almost feels like this could be when making the hate comment isn't enough. What is it about this seemingly consistent violence against women who I would understand to be strangers to the perpetrator?
So first of all, I would just want to welcome all of you out there in my audience, every single one of you, to the world of unreality, to the world of ridiculous absurdity, where we have a situation where older black males, again, one of the suspects or the primary suspect in the incident that they highlighted is a 40-year-old black male, are somehow 4chan incels that are angry at women. And the real motivation behind this is the fact that they can't get enough energy out of their hate comments to women online, so they're just walking up to them and punching them in the face. Very, very, very crazy analysis from Jessica Burbank. Very self-centered analysis. She's like, oh, you know what? Those people who crap on my takes, those people that make fun of me, maybe they would do this to me in real life. Therefore, I'm just going to extrapolate, because there's a TikToker involved in one of these incidents, and say that it's incels on 4chan that are going after people because, you know, men are lonely, and this is what lonely men tend to do. Now, I want to point out that yes, there has been some problems with incels in the past. There are some very notable incidents that I will not mention, because the demonetization fairy will show up on my video and take a crap all over it, but this is not that. This is the product of bail reform. These people have repeat criminal histories. They're doing it over and over again. And again, while the incel grouping tends to skew much younger, it seems like these are actually disproportionately older people, a lot of them with mental conditions. And again, overwhelming majority of them, everyone that I've seen so far, but it doesn't mean it's everyone total, happen to be black males.
There's something going on here that maybe the answer lies in 4chan chat rooms or deep in Reddit threads. But it has this feeling to me that it's got to be something popular either locally in New York City among a group of men, or something being sourced online. It really feels like this kind of anger towards women, you know, because they're women. And it's usually conventionally attractive women, people who are influencers, who are, you know, on their phones posting on TikTok afterwards. It seems like they're really targeting a specific demographic of women. Maybe it's non-native New Yorkers. A lot of non-native New Yorkers are on their phone to look at directions when they're in the city. I don't know what it could be, but it is suspicious to me that this is happening at a time when we've seen like a lot of online discourse about men who just generally are upset with the lack of attention they get from women and want to take it out, you know, through hate comments and making violent threats. Maybe this is some form of that.
That's an interesting theory from Detective Jessica Burbank, but here's the thing. I will not be out-detectified by Miss Burbank herself, because while she's saying maybe, just maybe, the undergirding motivation of this is online hate comments that are causing people to attack people who are TikTokers, who, by the way, aren't filming TikToks while they're being attacked. They film the TikToks after the attack. I'm going to go with the fact that they are repeat offenders. They are released over and over again due to bail reform, because Detective Sean has analyzed all of the suspects, and I have determined that, yeah, they're repeat offenders and they're mentally ill. Do you need to borrow my magnifying glass, Jessica? Is that going to help you determine that these people are not incels on 4chan that have decided to go out en masse and disguise themselves as 40-year-old black dudes that ran for mayor 17 times? Does that help you understand this? I put on the whole detective costume so that I could prove to you I'm smarter than you. I out-detected you with my detectorizing. Does that make sense?
That is an interesting theory. I think judging based on some of the suspects that they have caught, it seems like this is more likely a case of mental illness being left untreated among homeless people. There was a 9-year-old who was punched at New York City Grand Central Station. The perpetrator appears to be a 30-year-old. He looks homeless. They haven't confirmed that yet, but very dirty, very unkempt, I guess you could say. And then there was another case where a Brooklyn school bus aide was sucker punched by a serial attacker that they described as also a homeless man. And I think there's been a couple of other suspects captured as well. Obviously, the problem is still going on.
Listen, I gotta give credit where credit is due to Amber Duke, because if I were sitting opposite of Jessica Burbank, then I would have to do something ridiculous and absurd, like buy a detective costume, decide to wear it in a video, get a magnifying glass, which honestly, I was hoping for like a 12-foot magnifying glass. This is way too small for what I was looking for, and mock her asinine theories with some kind of a bit like that. But Amber very graciously says, yeah, that's an interesting theory. It's really not, just so you guys know. It's a dumb theory, and Amber knows it's dumb. But she's saying, based on the suspects, it seems like we're dealing with homeless and mentally ill people. You know, reality. Like, we're going to leave the unreality of Detective Burbank and we're going to go to the reality of what is actually going on. Also, this magnifying glass kind of sucks, if I'm being perfectly honest. Amazon, you kind of ripped me off because it's blurry. Like, I can't see anything through it. I can't even detectorize. Maybe this is Jessica Burbank's magnifying glass because she seems to not be able to see anything clearly. But you know what? Maybe I'll clean it up and we'll find out. You guys don't actually have to be here for the part where I clean it up, but you could cut back to the video.
But to me, this is more of a case of what happens when we get rid of the ability to put people that are struggling on the street into treatment that is necessary. A lot of these people don't have the wherewithal to help themselves.
So first of all, I just want to report to you guys that this magnifying glass is not any clearer at all now that I've done the wiping thing. But Amber is 100% right there. The fact of the matter is, a lot of these people are homeless. A lot of these people are also black, by the way. It's not mentioned in this video, but I know that Amber knows this. Jessica Burbank, who the hell knows what she knows? She probably thinks that these are 16-year-olds, like, from Covington Catholic School just punching women, because she probably still believes that lie from unreality. But yeah, they're homeless people. They're attacking girls of all ages. The specific one that she references is actually the Brooklyn case with the broken jaw that I talked about earlier, where that guy was a serial offender and he was only charged with misdemeanor assault, even though the woman has to have her jaw wired for 6 weeks straight. We did a whole video on that. I'll link it in the description. But yeah, thank you, Amber, for bringing us back to reality. I only wish you would have done that before I put on the detective costume, because now I might look a little bit ridiculous.
And traditionally, the reason why we would say that people can't camp in public or they can't be ranting and raving on the street corner is so that we can encourage them to go into treatment programs and get the help that they need, either for drug or mental addiction or mental health issues or drug addiction. And unfortunately now it's sort of, we throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. They're just going to be there and they're going to decrease the quality of life and potentially harm people.
Yeah. So Amber also goes on to talk about how we can't get these people off the street. We used to have laws against camping for the purpose of removing these people from the street. It's also incredibly difficult to mandate or remand these people to custody, even just for treatment of mental illness due to the change in standard. We've talked about this on the channel a bunch of times about how now the standard is if you're a danger to yourself or others, but apparently punching somebody in the face randomly is not a danger to others or not enough a danger to others. So what we see time and time again, when you have bail reform that doesn't allow the criminal justice system to deal with them, and this new standard where you can't force somebody into treatment into the mental health care system, you end up with these people on the street and they keep repeat offending because they have unchecked mental issues and or they have repeat criminal offenses like some of the other cases that we talked about, or some combination of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen reports of this happening just outside of Times Square and very populous areas of Brooklyn. It doesn't seem like it's happening in like just the seedy parts of New York City where there are homeless encampments. It seems like this is happening. You know, one was in the East Village on the way to a restaurant. So I just also the arrest that I've seen for the perpetrator against the influencer, this was not a person who was homeless. So it does seem to me that there's not a consistency there. But it does seem to me that this is a consistency of men's violence against women.
So once again, we have Jessica Burbank taking us back to unreality. She's saying, listen, this wasn't near a homeless encampment. This was near Times Square. There's no hobos in Times Square. That's not a thing that happened. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys, as a New Yorker and as a world-class detective, an inspector, if you will, that, yeah, there's homeless people in Grand Central Station. There's homeless people in Times Square. 100%. But the person that she's talking about is the one who punched the influencer girl, which is interesting because Jessica says she's seen that suspect. It's the guy that we highlighted, the 40-year-old guy who ran for mayor over and over again, the black guy, you know, that person. And he's not exactly the person that you would picture, or Jessica is trying to paint a picture of, as the suspect that is getting radicalized on 4chan in order to attack women. This is a mentally unstable person. He might not actually be homeless, but obviously he's got some issues if you look at his prior social media posts. And it's not really a thing where this is incels being radicalized by the 4chan. But then again, I am just a world-class inspector living in reality, and Jessica Burbank is definitely stationed in unreality. And I'm very disappointed with this magnifying glass. How dare you, Amazon? You owe me $10. I will be returning this.
And so I think we're going to need to wait till a lot more perpetrators are brought in. I'm not sure how they're going to be able to find them, other than in the cases where they've been identified through footage on surveillance cameras. Women's jaws have been broken before criminal charges have been pressed. But it is scary.
So Jessica also references the same person who got their jaw broken. Amber just told you that that was a homeless person, a repeat offender, somebody who shouldn't have been on the streets. But we're going to give it to Amber. We're going to toss it over to her. We're going to magnify her take because she's going to clarify some things with Jessica Burbank and magnifying glass.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do know that there are homeless people, maybe not encampments outside of Times Square and other parts of New York that we might traditionally consider nicer, whether the Upper East Side or Manhattan more generally. So I don't think that that exempts them from being there and potentially causing trouble. Grand Central and Moynihan Train Hall have both historically had issues with homeless people hanging out there and causing trouble to travelers. New York City recently invested billions of dollars to beautify Moynihan Train Hall to try to make it nicer and have more security there to keep out people who were creating undesirable environments and unsafe environments for people who were riding either the subway or the trains up and down the East Coast. So, I mean, that was definitely a part of it.
So, look, Amber is 100% right here. I don't know what Jessica is basing her assessment of the hobos on. Maybe she's thinking California, where because it's more spread out and you have to take a car to get across the different various parts of a place like Los Angeles, the homeless people cannot move about as freely. But in New York City, especially on the island of Manhattan, it's much smaller, everything's more walkable, and you could run into a homeless person in any given neighborhood. In the nicest neighborhoods, in the least nice neighborhoods, they can be there. That does not exempt them from being a homeless issue if it's the Upper East Side, somewhere where it's historically wealthy, or a transit hub. In fact, all of these people tend to have more homeless people, or at least one homeless person. And yes, some of them can have mental issues. And yes, some of them can commit violence. And yes, I'm still wearing this detective costume because it's a bit.
I did find the perpetrator, you said, of the TikTok influencer who does not appear to be homeless. We'll look into it. We'll continue to track who exactly is being arrested for these and see if hopefully these decline. We'll be back with more Rising after this.
So that was really interesting right there. I don't know if you guys caught that, but as somebody who does my own editing, that was a really awkward cut where they did from Amber to Amber.
I did find the perpetrator, you said, of the TikTok influencer who does not appear to be homeless. We'll look into it. We'll continue to track who exactly is being arrested for these and see if hopefully these decline. TikTok influencer who does not appear to be homeless. We'll look into it. We'll continue to track who exactly.
You could tell the movement and the change in the angle, and I'm not sure exactly what was going on there, because it seemed like she was going to highlight the suspect that I talked about earlier, the 40-year-old black dude, the one that probably has mental health issues, the one that's run for mayor over and over and over again. But for some reason, she said she found the suspect and then smash cut to her saying, we'll look into it, or something like that, which I always found to be weird. Like, I don't watch The Hill Rising live. I thought they did a live stream and then they cut the clips from the live. If there is a live version of this, then it's a little different. Let me know. But it seems like they just kind of hacked off whatever Amber was going to say right there, because she had been refuting Jessica really well throughout the whole course of the segment. And maybe, just maybe, it looks like they end on an agreeable note. I'm just curious about that. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this is like a normal edit for The Hill. I don't know. But Detective Sean, the inspector finds that cut to be very awkward. And the way that she seemed to be going in one direction and then smash cut, and then they have some kind of other direction, not one direction anymore. But I don't know. But honestly, look, it's a good segment. For Amber, not a good segment for Jessica Burbank, but it just goes to show you that anytime you see a stupid headline like that Salon one that talks about the male MAGA rage and whatnot, there's actually a human being, a human person who will take that position, who will sign their name to that. And more times than not, that will be Detective Jessica Burbank, who has no intelligence match for Inspector Sean, Inspector AJW, who's on the case and has the factual information, and even bought this hat right here in order to analyze the case. But you know what? That's really where I'm going to leave it. I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. If you like this video, then show them by leaving a like, subscribe for more content, follow me on all my social media, support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about The Hill Rising, or at least Jessica from The Hill Rising, trying to deny what's going on with these women being attacked. Till next time. I just hit my head with the magnifying glass. It hurt.